Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, Bible says, there were shepherds living. Everybody say living. They were living out in the fields. How many of you guys want to live in the fields? That's where animals live. Amen? Amen. Oh, you want to live in the fields? You can do that, bro. Rent is cheap in the fields, man. I mean, it's way cheap in the fields. All right. They were living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Just go right over there, Mike, right there in that glass room. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Lord, we give You glory this morning. Lord, we come before You this morning. I pray an anointing upon this place, Lord, that we might be transformed in our hearts, Lord, that we might hear from You, Lord, that You might touch our hearts, Lord, that Your Spirit might move us, Lord, that we might become different, changed by the truth. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And you know, Christmas time is often like for kids. You know, I mean, you got kids, right? I mean, both you guys got kids. You start last night, right? Just kind of goes all night. Yuseli looks a tad fatigued. Has it been a long night, girl? We'll try and keep you up. And kids, I remember being a kid and getting a fishing pole. And how many of you guys ever got fishing poles? You know, he's like, yeah, man, fishing pole. And I remember going out to Millerton Lake and going fishing and sitting there, you know, bait fishing, not a whole lot of action, just kind of sitting there and just hearing this kerplunk, a big old fish be jumping out there, and you never see the fish, right? What you see is the ripples after the fish was done. And I always want to see those fish, and it'd be so hard to catch the fish while it's in the air, but it's so easy to see the ripples, the effect of that fish kerplunk hitting that water. Today, our story is about the effect. Our story today, as we read it, is about the impact of our Lord as He kerplunk hit history, as He kerplunk hit the planet and had an impact and made ripples in our lives. And they're still being affected today. Amen? Our story today is about the effect of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God is ready to explode onto the stage, to make a grand entrance. And as we read that, if I go back a couple of verses, Bible says, and while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now, Benita's going to give birth to her firstborn. Would you think you want more than a sentence in the book on your life? How many of you ladies think giving birth is worth more than one sentence? Amen. There's some pain associated with that. There's some drama associated with that. Amen. Amen. And this is the amount of press that the birth of the Son of God gets. You know, realistically, God could have done it an entirely different way. God has shown up. Look at the manifestation. I mean, the whole book could have been about Him. But as we read, or as we read today, the story is not so much about Jesus as it is about some shepherds. Are you tracking with me? We took a look last week, right? And what was the story about? Was the story about the Lord, or was it more about Mary and her response to the Lord? Amen? Because so much of this book is about our response to the Lord. Our response, the ripples of in our lives as the Lord splashed Kerplunk into history. And the ripples go out and the impact goes out. And the real question is, when you run into the truth of God and the worth of Word of God, how do you respond to the truth? Because when you get the truth of God, you will be changed. Amen? Kids are already downstairs, man. All right. God is working it out. Let's take a look. Title of today's message is called Changed by the Word. Changed by the message. And God is working it out. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went up to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. You've heard that part before, right? Everybody's heard that part before. We all have obstacles to overcome. The obstacle that Joseph had was this census that was put on by Caesar. Caesar wanted to make a count. He wanted to count all the people in his kingdom, right? Why do you think he wanted to make that count? Taxes. He wanted to be able to tax everybody so he could pay for his armies. Everybody had to go to their own town. Everyone had to go home. Now, if I asked you today, where's your hometown? My hometown is Fresno. Anybody been to Fresno? Oh, yeah. It's a nice town to be from. Hallelujah. I talk about living in San Diego. It'd be tough to leave San Diego. Can I get a witness on that? I'm telling you. God's finest city. I think that is right. But if I want to go home, it takes me like 5-6 hours of driving. Now, my brother, my youngest brother, still lives in Fresno. And he's in Fresno. If he's going to get counted in Fresno, he doesn't have to go anywhere. My sister still lives in Fresno. They don't have to travel anywhere. My other brother, he lives in Sacramento, 3 hours. Take me about $40, $45 in gas to get home. Johnny, standing back, he was just right here. His hometown, South Carolina. Right, Johnny? How much gas it take to get to South Carolina? Bunch of gas, right? $150, right? Couple days driving. What a pain. Mary and Joseph would have been walking or riding on a donkey for a week to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We all got challenges. Amen? Amen. Now, Benita, you're 6 months pregnant? 7 months pregnant. You want to ride on a donkey for 7 days? No. Not a lot of pregnant ladies want to sign up for that. How'd you like to walk for 7 days? Probably not. Amen. All right. But God's got a challenge. Savior's born in Bethlehem. Okay? And Bethlehem is a week's travel from Nazareth. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God's got a challenge. The challenge is the Savior is to be born in Bethlehem. Why? Because that's where God's prophet said he would be born. But you, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, prophesied 600 years before the time of Christ. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that means southern Bethlehem. The Bethlehem that was in the southern part of the country, because there was another Bethlehem, the big city. And if you just said Bethlehem, everybody think, oh, big Bethlehem. No. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that means Bethlehem in the south, the little, tiny, little nothing town. That's where your Savior is going to be born. You are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Now, where does Joseph and Mary live? They live in Nazareth. So God, you know, and really I say it's a challenge for God. It's not really a challenge for God. God is just stating how it's going to be. What is interesting to note is how he takes Joseph and Mary and moves them from Nazareth to Galilee. Or I'm sorry, from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem. Because he could have, I mean, he's using angels, right? He's got the messenger service happening. And he could have just sent the messenger and said, hey, Joseph, take Mary on down to Bethlehem. No big deal, right? Pretty easy, right? I mean, we've seen this kind of stuff going on. But God doesn't play that way. God puts it in the mind of Caesar that he needs to take account. And he doesn't just say, let's count all the people in Bethlehem. No, no, no. He doesn't just say, let's count all the people in Israel. No, he says, I want you to take account of the entire Roman world. Now, this pink area is the kingdom of Rome, 14 BC. Now, we are talking about 4 BC right now. So this is a pretty close shot, okay? If anything, it might be 10 years bigger, okay? So we're talking all of Spain, France, that's Germany. So we got France up there. We got Italy. I'm showing my ignorance here. We got a bunch of Turkey. We got Greece. We've got I don't know what those countries are now. I mean, they're like communist countries. Then you got now. So who knows what they're called? So anyway, you got Israel. You got Egypt. You got Northern Africa. That is a lot of people. Can I get a witness on that? And God says, okay, I'm going to move my son from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and I'm going to move a whole bunch of people to make that happen. Isn't that pretty cool? Are you guys not impressed by that? He could have just said, Joseph, take the lady down to Bethlehem. He says, no. I'm gonna mess with, I don't know, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, however many people there were back then. I'm gonna move everybody around. And you think, oh, that's not so tough. Well, check it out. He's got to hit 38 weeks. Give or take a week, right? Now, what is involved in taking a census of all the Roman world? How many people got to get in place? How many mess? And they got no tweeting going on back there. They just say tweet. Okay, we're gonna have a massive census. It's gonna take place tomorrow. Everybody, no man, they gotta send messengers out, and then the messengers gotta come back. Yeah, we can do this. What date do you want to do this? All this kind of stuff just to get Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. When she is 9 months pregnant. Because if he gets her there too soon, she's gonna head back to Nazareth. Gets her there too late. Oh no. Jesus was born on the way. But realistically, it ain't no challenge for God. Because she shows up probably right on week 38. Can't find no place. Finds a stable. And has birth of a son. Our Savior. Right on time. Just in the right place. Pretty good, amen? Amen. All right, nothing is impossible with God. That's what I like about that. All right, point number two, a night for change. A night for change. Now we're going to shift gears and take a look at these shepherds. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, don't be afraid. And when God shows up in your life, folks, he shows up on purpose. He shows up for a reason. God just doesn't mess around. And God doesn't make any mistakes. Amen? Amen. So God shows up, and the angel shows up to them, and these guys were out sitting around their campfire. You know, it's like TV back then, right? Just looking at the fire. He'd done that before, you know, and they're all sitting around, and boom, angel shows up. The glory of God shines around them, and they are terrified. You think you might be terrified? I think I'd be terrified. I'm the pastor. I'd be terrified. And check it out. What are they doing? There's an angel right there. Check it out. What is that? They're freaking out about what? The arrival. And the angel says, don't be afraid. This is not about me. It's about the message that I'm bringing. And so often we're focusing on the wrong thing. An angel showed up. Really? We want to say, what did he look like? As opposed to, what did he say? He says, I am here with a message. Don't get hung up on me. Get hung up on what I'm going to tell you. Because it's the truth of God that is going to have an impact in your life. It is the truth of God that is going to make a change in your life. And when you grab onto the truth, when you grab and actually discover the truth, you cannot help but be changed. Angel shows up to give a message. Today, God has a message for you. Do you believe that? One of two types of messages generally. First type, I have an opportunity for new life for you. I have a hope for you. I have the opportunity for deliverance for you. New hope, new future, new life, new everything. That's a great message, amen? That's a message of great joy for all the people, amen? Amen. There's a second message that he could be bringing to you today. You're ignoring my first message. That's it. I got a message of hope. Or you're ignoring my message of hope. I guess the third message would be, let's walk it out. Amen? Let's walk it out. When you grab on to the truth of God, you will be changed. You will be transformed. You will be a new creation in Christ. And what is so wonderful is seeing that happen around this place. Amen. Bible says, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everyone. Would you say everyone?
Everyone.
That includes you, by the way. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is, and they got a little letter in my Bible there. The Messiah has been born to you. And they were all waiting in anticipation for the Messiah. The expectation of the Messiah. This is going to be a sign that your Messiah, that your Savior, that your Deliverer has come. You're going to find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. In a manger? Remember, who's he talking to? Shepherds. Did they know what a manger was? Yes! They probably filled up mangers to feed their sheep. Wait a minute. We've got the Savior, the Messiah in a trough? I don't know if we can buy that. And then the heavenly host shows up. Okay, they're talking to one angel, right? And they're freaking out, right? They got the glory of God shining around them. They're freaking out. It says, calm down. Let me tell you what's going on. There's a baby laying in a trough that's a Savior. Heavenly host shows up. Glory to God in the highest. Whoa. Maybe we need to check this thing out. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on two men on whom his favor rests. See, that angel shows up with a message with meaning, a message for impact. And two parts of this I want to notice. The audience, number one, the recipients are everyone. This is a message not for just the rich. And I tell you what, it's kind of disgusting looking around our country these days because there's too many people that are hooked up and getting paid off. Can I get a witness on that? There are people, I mean, we got people that are poor all over the place, and there's people that are hooked up, and they're getting rich, and they're not even going to jail. Amen?
Amen.
God says, I don't play that way. Who'd the angel show up to? Did he show up to Caesar? Caesar! No. Did he show up to the high priest in the temple? Ananias! No. He showed up out in the fields to some shepherd. Why did he do that? Because if he showed up to Caesar, we might think that he's the kind of God that only shows up to kings. If he showed up to the great high priest in the temple, we might think that he's the kind of God that only shows up in church. But he shows up to some guys that are just trying to get by. Just trying to make ends meet. Just trying to get paid. Living out in the field. And he says, I got a message for you. I have truth for you. That's for everyone. And you're going to be our messengers. And you get a hold of that truth. And you will have impact in people's lives. A Savior is born for you. It says the message is a message of joy. The word there is kara, joy. And it's not just kara, it's mega kara. And you know what mega means. Massive joy. Giant joy. That is the message of truth that God invests in you. A Savior is born to you today. How can I try to convey this to you? Juan Carlos. If I said to you today, the Padres will be the World Series champions. Right? That's pretty good. He's even wearing Padres colors. I don't have a name on it, but old Padres colors, man. Right? World Series champs! And everybody's going, whoo, get me a jersey. I say, the Padres are going to be World Series champs in 2041. That's kind of good, yeah. But man, that's a lot of jerseys to buy before it comes home, right? See, the message of truth, and I'll tell you what, folks. It comes from God. Let's just say, 2041, Padres going to be the world champs, and not until then. And they're going to be in the basement every year until now. Until then, 2041, the basement. 100 losses a year. You know what? That's truth. And there's nothing you're going to do to change it. You're a Padres fan, you're going to be waiting until 2041. Okay? They got a message of a baby as their Savior. And I got to think in their mind, I think we might have to wait a little while. Because these guys done with the census. They're sick and tired of these Romans ordering us around. Let's get rid of these guys. Savior, yeah! Baby? Truth of God. When you grab onto the truth, it'll change your life. Amen? All right, we're going to finish this up. Shepherds verify the message, right? Says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said, you know what? I don't know, man. It's kind of cold out there. Fire's nice and warm. Let's just kick back. How many people you know don't care a whit about the message of God and the truth of God? I don't know. That's not what they said at all. They said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Let's go verify what the Lord has sent to us. Let's go see if it's really true, or let's go see if it's a lie. Stepping into the promise of God, it's going to take effort. These guys had sheep. These guys had goats. And they probably would have been, in a pen. They maybe would have been in a cave kind of thing. Maybe like a natural barrier. These guys would come together at night, probably bring their flocks together so that wild animals couldn't attack them, and they would be able to protect all the flocks together. And so they had this thing all set up, and they'd be working all day. You get tired after working all day. Can I get a witness on that? Right? Now, this got to admit that this was kind of like a red letter night. Don't often see the heavenly host singing to you. But what they had to do is they had to figure out who was going to stay with the sheep. Or they had to bring the sheep. And said, it's in Bethlehem. Now there's a bunch of little towns. I don't know how far they had to go. I don't know if they specked out Bethlehem because there's three other towns. It's Bethlehem. So they had to figure out who's going to watch the sheep, the security, all that kind of stuff. They had to figure out who was going to go, how they were going to get there, had to, you know, set up. Maybe it took them a couple hours to walk. I don't know. But I tell you what, if it was just from here to University in 805, it's still a little bit of a walk in the middle of the night. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You're going to verify the message of God. It's going to take some effort on your part. And so often, we don't want that effort. So often, we would rather have it be easier for us. I'm on the wrong page. They said, we're going to go see. We're going to go see if there's a baby sitting in a trough. I'm trying to see who can see there. That's a commercial animal trough. Doesn't look nice and clean and sanitary. I'm trying to think who had a baby. Oh, there's a baby right back there. Would you put your baby in that, Maddie? Not even. How many of you moms are saying, oh yeah, I'm going to take my 1 month old and put him in an animal trough in a working stable. There would have been cow slobber on that thing. Or goat slobber or sheep slobber. You putting your little boy in there? No, Teresa says, not even close. We're going to go verify it. And there's so little desire to verify the truth of God in our lives. We're spoiled. We want God to deliver the truth. It's like domino. Show up 20 minutes or it's free. It's like, yeah, truth of God, hey. Send me a tweet. Send me an email. Send me a fax. These guys had to travel to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. It took effort. And you're going to verify the truth of God in your life. It's going to take effort. Take a little effort to get here this morning, Balthazar. Praise the Lord. Take a little effort to get him ready this morning. Praise the Lord. I don't know who worked harder to get here, but it could be the one not in the chair. Can I get a witness on that? I'll tell you what, you're going to follow God. It's going to take effort on your part. God don't deliver. He delivered the message and said, hey, it is on you. And there's so many people who just let the message of God lay stale. Can I get that on tape? Last thing, they go see. God puts it on the shepherds and God will put it on you. The message is true. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just like God said. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. Would you say amazed, please?
Amen.
They were amazed at what the shepherds said. I don't know how many of them were terrified of the shepherds. Right? Oh, no, it's the shepherds. No, they're like, whoa, the shepherds? Are you kidding me? They were amazed. You get a hold of God's truth in your life and you start spreading that, people are going to be amazed at what God's doing in you. Amen? I am amazed. Were you guys not amazed by the verse that, Sandra, thank you. Having these senior moment that Sandra spoke during that class, it was awesome, was it not? Anointing of God, amazing what God, and it is amazing what God does through you. It is amazing what God is doing through the teachers that are downstairs right now. It is amazing what God would do through some lousy shepherds, the least of the least. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It was just like God said. And if you will take the time, if you will put in the effort, you will find that God's message is always true. That is not always the case in my life. Sometimes when I start trying to find my own truth, it does not work. But when I land on God's truth, it always works. But we're going to have to put in effort to verify it. The shepherds verified it, and they found their Messiah. They spread the word, and the message was received with amazement. And they were changed. They went home glorifying and praising God. Now, do you think they would have been glorifying and praising God after the heavenly host departs? Right? I mean, you got the angel, we're afraid. You got the heavenly host, glory to God in the highest, right? It's like a big old video in the sky. And they leave. Do you think they're glorifying and praising God? Oh, yeah! Oh, man, did you see that? Did you see that, Joshua? Man, you were sleeping? How did you miss that? It was radical, right? And they could have went to sleep with that memory. How much more do you think they were glorifying God after they walked for an hour, 2, 3 hours? Verified the truth of God and the message of God, spread the word, amazed everybody, and are walking back. You think maybe they were doing a high five? How is God good? Why? Because they had participated in it. It became real to them in a mighty way. Can I get a witness on this, please? Sandra, were you blessed up there giving that verse? And I'll tell you what, when you begin to verify the truth of God, when you begin to be impacted by the message of God, and you participate with God, and He calls you to something mighty in your life, you will be praising and glorifying God. In my home, we were praising and glorifying God this morning because of my daughter's singing last night. It was incredible to see God use her in a new and unique way. And when you step out, when you verify the call of God and the truth of God and the message of God, you will be transformed. And the people around you will be amazed. What is up with Sandra Hurd? Bringing the word like that. Yeah. Celebrating over a baby. What could a baby do? Man, we had to wait 30 years for this guy to grow up. And they did. But they weren't celebrating the baby. They were celebrating the truth. That there was a Savior on the way, that God was on the job, that God was on the job, that God had not forgot about them, that God was working things out. And when you come to understand that, even if the Padres aren't going to win until 2041, that's the only option you've got. You can't go start rooting for the Dodgers. Truth of God, it's the only option. And when you grab onto that truth, because oftentimes that message does not contain the information that we want to hear. The disciples said, hey, are you now going to get rid of the Romans? No. Now I'm going to infuse you with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to transform the world. Well, we were kind of hoping the Romans would be gone. God's got one plan. It involved getting Jesus to Bethlehem. And He moved the whole world around. God will call you to be part of His plan. It's the only truth there is. It's the only option there is. And that option and that truth is still working. And as you are transformed by it, you will have impact on the people around you. See, the book is about the ripples. The shepherds were ripples. And there's stories about them. As the truth of God impacts our lives, we're the ripples. The ripples of the truth of God moving out, and moving out, and making impact. My question for you today is, have you grabbed onto the truth? Is there a message here for you today? Because when you get the truth of God, you will be changed. Amen? Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty. Lisa, you want to come up here? I'm hoping you can sing. Lisa, or Lord, also, if you just heal Lisa's voice for the next 30 minutes, we give you praise for that, knowing that you're able and mighty and can do more than we can ever imagine. But Lord, as your message goes out this morning, Lord, and we're looking back at 2011, for some of us, it was a year of celebrating your goodness and the amazement of the work of your Spirit among us. And for some of us, it was not. And for some of us, Lord, there is a message that is going forth today that there is an opportunity for you for the rest of your life to have transforming power in your life in 2012 and beyond. For some of us, the message is you're not hearing my first message. You've been ignoring me. You got a friend's request in and you're not answering it. So Lord, as we stand here on Christmas Day 2011 celebrating your gift of eternal life, the gift of your Son, Lord. Lord, I pray that your message is going forth from this pulpit this morning. There's answers coming up, Lord. There's change coming up. Truth is going in. Change is going on and ripples are going out. We're here this morning and we're going to go down and have a wonderful time. But before we do that, the Lord Jesus speaking to your heart this morning saying, I've been talking to you for a while and it's finally breaking through. And I've got some things for you 2012 and beyond. I've got amazement that would come through you as we partner up in life. And you have been fighting me too long. It is time to make a change. No one's looking around. It's Christmas Day. You're saying, Lord, I'll take that. Lord's saying, you have to do some work to verify this. It's going to take some effort on your part. I don't deliver. And I'm hoping you'll still say, Lord, I'll take that. I want a new future in you. I want a new hope and I want change. I want your truth to make a change in me. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. And you're saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And as Lisa said, you know, let's worship the Lord by just raising a hand. If you're here this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart saying, you've been missing my message for too long. And today you're saying, I'll take that message, Lord. I'll put in that effort. I'm going to verify your truth. I want to partner with you in my life. I want to see amazement going on around me because of your Spirit in me. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. I just want you to just lift your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Right here, and here, and here, and there. And there, hallelujah, and here. There, back here. Anybody else over here? Say, that's me. That's me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that's here, Lord. Lord, in the heavenly host, be celebrating up in heaven right now, Lord. You would descend your ministering angels, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would touch and guide and call and transform each person here that responded to you this morning. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Lisa, lead us in a song. Let's just sing the goodness of the Lord. If you want to pray, come on up here. I'll pray with you. And you know, if you want to just worship, come on up here. We'll sing a song.